Mr. Earl Realtor.
Yes, I don't know what happened to the pilots of the Spitfires. I've never heard anything what happened to them. All I know was they got took prisoner when they landed. I've never read any books or heard anything about exactly what happened to them.
So what happened to you next?
I think we went back to Durban, around to Cape Town, and stopped at Freetown, and we waited there for the convoy, the pedestal convoy that went to Mola, and we joined them Gibraltar Straits there. And we all formed up, and just as we entered the Mediterranean, everything was so calm. It was lovely. It was really sunny. And after a while, it wasn't so good. Two or three ships got torpedoed, and. Well, HMS Eagle aircraft carrier was steaming not far alongside us, and she got three or four torpedoes, and it just went round like a little toy ship and went over and down. Very, I don't know how long it didn't take along.
Did you see that yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you on duty at the time?
Yeah, we took. Some of the chaps, what was picked up when we got back to Gibraltar, that was put on board us, and they spent the rest of their journey with us. One or two of them, our friend, had friends on our mess deck that they joined up with. That's funny, wasn't it? Yeah. We carried on, and then we was at extra stations all the while. And we heard the alarms go, got round the guns, and we started firing. 4.5 guns, twins they were, and we fired quite a few rounds, and then there was a thud, and the ship seems as if that jumped and went down again. And then, after a few seconds, there was a bigger thump. And then there was a hit, just a direct hit outside our turret on the after flight deck. And the flames were coming on at the end, out of the alleyway near our turret. Our gun turret was the bomb that dropped. Shook it off the cogs on the what revolved it round, and so that was the end of our firing. And we had to take all the ammunition, 4.5 ammunition, from the turret and the turret lockers. We made a line from the turret to the nearest porthole. It was about 30 or 40 yards, the nearest porthole. And we had to pass the rounds to each other and put them through the porthole and ditch them in the sea because it was getting hot with the flames outside. And someone said that our forward turret had a direct hit and killed everyone. That was our Marines turret. We had one aft and one forward, you see, and couldn't do anything much, so one or two of us wandered about, and my friend what lived out here near Lowestoft, he was in the forward turret. And it was funny really, because I got up on the flight deck and I saw just one person forward on the flight deck, and he looked as if he'd got a white coat on, and I went went towards them, and that was George Wright, my friend. And the white thing around his shoulders was a white towel, what he had put around his shoulders. Well, because he was burnt so much that when he asked me to take the towel off, I pulled a lot of his flesh and that off, you know. And so I put it back again. I didn't tell him what I'd seen. And he flounced down on the flight deck, and I shouted for help, and someone come, whenever it was. And they got an old stretcher thing they'd made and put them on and took them down. But previous to that, he had then carried some of the burnt men from the turret and was pulling them out. And he was awarded the DSM for that. Brave man he was. Yeah. He died about 3 years ago. He lived at Portsmouth. Yeah. I used to go and see his old father after the war, what lived down at Lowestoft. He was an old skipper, fisherman, on a trawler or drifter. And he was 90 when he died. He was a nice, brave old man. He was calm about George. And then, after that, I lost a little bit what I thought had happened to me. I know the ship was blazing from the after hangar and the front and the bows and the turrets. They was all blazing. See, you didn't know whether to go that way or that. I got down again. How I done it, I don't know. No. And we had a look up, two or three of us, after a while, and could see what was happening outside. We couldn't shoot the guns, you see. You could see all the other ships that were getting bombed, torpedoed. Quite a sight, that. And we buried the dead. The next day, we went in the turrets, what were, man, there was two or three of my mates who was in there. One of them's name was Lenny Bedwell. He was a gun trainer, and he still sat on the seat and his hands on the wheel, but he was nothing but a black cinder. And when we touched him to put him in the canvas, it's like dust, you know, and all you see was his white bones. They were shiny, but like ivory they were. We put him in canvas and put him on a flight deck, and the chippies made a wooden slide sledge and greased it, and then we had the service for him, and slid him over the side. There was one little Royal Marine Bugler. He was only 15. He, a marvellous little chap. He played the last post and that. I try to find out what happened to him afterwards, but no, you can't get any trace of anything like that. And most of them, well, they all got killed up in them two turrets, you see. Yeah. I was lucky, really. Me and another chap, Eric Beals, we should have been transferred to the turret, aft turret, to the one that got hit about 3 weeks previous to that. Yeah, we took the old ship stopped, and because of what we were thinking about, we was a good target for anything then. We all got a bit shaky about it. There was still, you could see the planes gliding down on the merchant ships. And we went. And then we got back to Gibraltar and went in dry dock. And the HMS, the Kenya cruiser, also got hit. And the captain, he had to flood one half of the ship to bring it up because it had gone over so much. And the people that were killed when he flooded that, when they got into Gibraltar, they asked for volunteers off another ship to go and get them out. And I was one of them and gone. And they were just flew up like as if someone got a pump and pumped them up. You know, puffed up they were. And I found out, well, I thought I found out, that if I'd done things like that, you could get over a bit, if you know what I mean, rather than sitting and keep saying, thinking about it. And that's what I'd done for the rest of the war. Instead of, you know, not doing it, I'd done it. Yeah?
So this was from HMS Kenya?
Yeah, that cruiser. I got hit, torpedoed. I've got all the pictures of that.
So that was a rescue party to HMS Kenya?
Yeah. I think there was two other destroyers that came in. They also volunteered to go. There was people from two or three different ships come there and done.
What else did you see on that job?
On the convoy?
Yes.
Well, they took the people we brought out and our people what were killed on board. They were the ones that were killed on board were buried at sea. The other ones what died on the way back, they were took out to sea and buried to sea. With the men on the Kenya, what we took out, dead people on the Kenya, or Kenya, whatever you say it is. Yeah? Yeah? We came back to, they patched us up, and managed to get back to Liverpool, dry dock again. Now we spent a while in there. And they made it look like a ship again. And we went out to sea again, and I don't know exactly where we went from there, but I know we went to the Italy landings with that, and in the Med again. And we were steaming, going along on the channel between Italy and Sicily. And we got torpedoed there. Aerial torpedo dropped, and the whole ship went over like that. And then I don't know what they done to it. They could have flooded part of it, and it meant come back on an even keel. And we went back to Gibraltar, and the same again. They patched us up, and made it seaworthy. We went across the Atlantic. We went to
when it was hit by the aerial torpedo, where was your action station?
Turret.
Which turret was that?
Well, we was moored from the one we had been in. We went to we was on the port side turret, and when we went back after the first convoy, they put us in the other turret, A turret. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, did you see how the aerial torpedo was launched at you?
Dark. It was night time. Yeah.
Did you realise what had happened?
No. No one knew what had happened. No. It happened so quickly, and that seems as if about 3 or 4 minutes, the ship was on its way over. Then it stopped. And after a while, it came back again. After about a couple of 3 hours, it gradually came back again. So I should say, they flooded the other side of it.
Were there casualties from that?
Yes, there were casualties. How many, I don't know, but there were casualties.
Did you see any of the casualties?
Yeah. But it wasn't all that. It was the men that were down.
Did you have to give any help?
No. Couldn't do anything there. No.
So, which was the worst experience? Being torpedoed or being hit by the bomb?
No, it wasn't too bad. Being torpedoed. The other part was the worst when the bombs come down. The near misses done as much damage as direct hits through the side of the ship. In there was the wardroom had some pilots in there, and they were all sitting having a drink, and the blast had killed all of them, and they just sat round as if they were having a drink. One had got his leg off. One had got his face all missing. Yeah, we went down and had a look round. Well, we was asked to go round and have a look. You know, that pedestal convoy, it was a terrible thing. What happened there, to all the ships, especially some of the merchant ships, yeah?
So you were just about to tell me about getting repaired after being in the med. Was that Salerno?
No, we went back to Gibraltar, and they patched us up there. And we went back to America, Norfolk, Virginia, dry dock, and got repaired. And me and four of us volunteered to come back. We was volunteered for the commandos, and we came back on HMS Ajax. She'd been repaired after the River Plate deal, and we came back on that.
Did you volunteer for the commandos?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I was the same old thing. You want to change or getting fed up, or quite a few of my mates, you see, got killed. And two of my, what I call my best mates, got killed anyhow.
So you came back in the Ajax?
Yeah, we went to Portsmouth, and Portsmouth Royal Marine Barracks for a couple of 3 weeks, and then was sent up to Achnacarry, a commando training place, and that's where I done my commando course up there, up at Achnacarry. That was a bit rough. And
in what way?
Well, the march and the run and the climb and the falling, and the way you lived in the old tin huts on an old wooden bed. I had for breakfast, you had porridge with salt on it. I used to have sugar on mine when I was at home. Salt on it, it wasn't too good, but I done it all right. I passed out second to the group there. There was a chap called Sutton, who come out top, I come out second. I was right pleased about that, in a way. Quite a lot of things I could tell you what coincided. Other things had happened, like when I was doing my commando training, there was a young chap called Norman Wall. He really wanted to pass, he couldn't make the rope marches up, a 15-miler, but they were allowed to hang on your pack if you could pull them, and two of us used to pull him back, and he passed. He finished up in the commando I was in, and he got killed in that thing up there. On the wall, a top one.
We'll look at the pictures afterwards.
Yeah, we did my training. I came back to Wrexham, and it was getting their D-Day then. They sent two or three of us down to Gravesend in civvy billets, and we stayed with a family down at Gravesend, a Mrs. Bembridge. She had three daughters, twins about 10 years old and one about 22. And we was there about a couple of weeks or was it about. We were sent to Warsash, an encampment there, ready for D-Day, barbed wire encampment. And they had a big mound. They had made what should have looked something like our landing in France. We could study that. And one night, they just picked us up and took us and put us on the LCIs, and small things, Land and Craft Infantry, and then pushed us over to France.
Which commando were you in?
48, yeah. I hadn't a chance to know anyone, you see. It was only a matter of two or three weeks before we landed. And they had been doing special training for D-Day. I'd never done any of that, you see. I didn't know anything about that. Now, anyhow, we went across the channel, and most of them were seasick. I was lucky I'd been at sea for quite a while. Didn't affect me. And most of us kept up on the deck just a scenery, I suppose, which we'd been better off we'd have kept down below. When we got nearer the beach, as they started, Germans started firing at us. And a chap stood next to me, Joe Larkin. He was the first one killed. He fell down on my feet, he did. And we was all standing around the hatch that go down. When this happened, and you could hear the crack, everybody tried to jump down that hole. They all got stuck in it. There was too many of them. They got a pack on the back, you see, it's catching on the side. And some of them had some nasty old legs and arms trying to get out there. Several of them got wounded. One chap stood near me, he got a bullet right through the middle of his hand, and that didn't look so bad there, no, that one. And I pushed the other one, so he hadn't got a middle left in his hand. But he didn't land, he kept on the ship.
You mean it didn't look so bad on the back of the hand?
Well, it went in the back of his hand, and that come out there.
On the palm?
That puffed, yeah, there was hardly anything there at all. It was a mess. Funny how his fingers were hanging on, really. Well, they were all there, you know. And getting nearer and nearer. And we were glad, really, when we could get off. It was far from the sea, the beach, you see. And they put out two ramps, but they weren't really far enough to miss the sea water. And one of the ramps doubled up. That left us with one ramp. Of course, everybody wanted to get down one ramp, which meant that they were trying, like, two or three people a ramp at that, which they were pushing each other, you see. Well, not for the purpose, but... And I fell in the sea. I scrambled up and I ran onto the beach wall, and I passed two or three dead and wounded. When I got to the sea wall, one man came running and stood near me, and another chap was running towards me. He got shot, he went down, and the other chap that was running behind him, his name was Appleyard, Lance Corporal Appleyard. And he was awarded the MM in the Sicily Landers, and he stopped near the dead man, and the dead man had a sniper's rifle, and he cleaned the sand off and got down on one knee, Lance Corporal Appleyard. And he was firing at the strong point just down the beach, and I stood about near the wall there, and he was here, matter about 4 or 5 yards. And we give him a shout to tell him about sniper up there. He fired 2 or 3 rounds, and then he got one bang. He really got one in there. Afterwards, we looked at him.
In his forehead.
Yeah, well, that was a lucky shot. Well, the German was a good shot. And it really got him in there, yeah. And there again, there was a hole there, but the back of his head was gone. Poofed her out, you know. His brains and everything were gone. Yeah. And the chap that ran beside me, stood beside me, he offered me a cigarette. He'd got a tin, a waterproof tin. I took one of them, and everything was happening. I was looking about what to do, and he wasn't there anymore. He was dead. He got one in the side of his head. And he was, I think that's what saved my life, really. And I tried to get along, because I was right on the outside of the, where we all landed. There was no one that way, but they was all that way. And that's where the strong point was. I tried to run, and there was several Canadians lay there dead and wounded. Some sitting near the beach wall, but were wounded. And I thought, well, if I run too far out there, they could see me out there. I tried to keep near the beach wall. I tripped over a Canadian. I thought he was dead. He was only wounded. And when I kicked over him, he groaned. And his mate, who was sitting there holding a rifle, he threatened to shoot me. He really got to shoot me. He really pulled a bolt back like that. Like. And I had to run quick. Whether he shot at me, I don't think he did, but he threatened to shoot me. He called me several names, you know, which that was his mate. I tripped over him. And I kept running and running. And then I saw a tracked vehicle come from a ship, and there was 2 of our chaps. One of them, his name was McCain. He got wounded, and he lay there. And this tracked vehicle come up. He couldn't move, and that run to him, and that took his arm right off there. I didn't even bleed. I took his, pulled his arm right out. And the other chap bent down and tried to pull him. As he bent down, a sniper got him. Same place. Must have been good shot, Sam Jerry's.
In the middle of the forehead.
Yeah, and when we went back 2 days after to bury him, to pick him up and bury him, that chap who was about to pick him up, so cold then, you see, and his arms, we had a job to separate them too. His arms were running, you know, stiff. And McLaughlin, that was his name. And one was McCain, one was McLaughlin, both Scotchmen. Yeah? And then there was a Canadian tank just off the beach. It hit a mine, and one chap, a Canadian, stood there crying. And that was all his mates in there. He said they was all dead in there. And I don't know where he got this thing from, but he offered me a tin of drink. He said, "Here, we have that." We hadn't anything like that. There was a wick on it, and if you touched it with a cigarette, it heated the tin. He offered me one of them, and I took a sip. And I carried on.
What was it, soap?
Yeah.